Good morning. Welcome to Harbor. Katie's away this week. I'm Cricket, and I'm a volunteer here at Harbor. And today we're going to look through Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Why? Because that's what I've been having to work through. And you know how it goes with me? If I'm going through it, you get to go through it too. Fun. But as I've been working through the questions from this series, I found myself having to forgive people. And it's, okay, how do I do that? You know, I'd be driving around, just randomly driving somewhere, and this person would pop into my head, or digging in the garden, and boom, another person that I needed to work on would pop into my head. And it's even happened this morning. It's like, oh my goodness, come on, I need a break. God, I need a break. But it's, we need forgiveness all the time, and we need to forgive all the time. And one of them that popped up out of the blue was my fourth grade music teacher. It's like, you know, yeah, he hurt me, but that was a long time ago. Who cares about that? Apparently God does. Another one that popped up was someone I've done work, a lot of this forgiving work with, because he hurt me very deeply when I had to be one of the elders that fired a pastor at our church many years ago. And he ended up telling lies about me to the congregation and to other people. And I had to work through all of that. And we'll get to a little bit more of that later. But it was very ugly and the church died. So I had to forgive a lot. So forgiveness goes from the very simple and very why bother to the, oh my goodness, this is going to take an awful lot of work. So there's many layers to forgiveness. And some of the wounds are minor and others are shattering. And I know every one of us has had some of those in our lives. But that's relationships. Relationships can get really messy, but they can be so life-giving as well. We end up with both. And it's hard, but it's good at the same time. There will be times when we want to put up our hand and say, I'm done. I quit. I can't do this anymore. I'm setting up boundaries. Until you change this behavior, I need to walk away. And that's going to happen. And there are times that we may have to get a restraining order against someone or just go get counseling or help to get through this. You know, call the police, report them. There's any number of things we may need to do as part of forgiveness. But we do need to forgive, regardless of what they've done. We don't want to let their behavior towards us, their sinful behavior, continue. Sometimes we need to just stop it and say, this far, no further. We can forgive them, but not allow them to harm us again, to keep that sinful sort of thing going on with us. And Katie mentioned reconciliation is not always an option on the table. But we still need to do that work of forgiveness regardless. Because forgiveness and reconciliation are threads that run throughout Scripture from the very beginning all the way through to the end. God loves us so much that he wants us to know him. He wants us to walk with him and to be like him. It's all about relationship. And our relationship with him will sometimes get messy too. Have you ever found yourself screaming at him and mad at him and yelling at him? Guilty as charged. But we work it through. That's what we do. And Katie has preached part of this Matthew 18 in this series because it's all about relationship. And we pick it up today just after where she helped us see that it's community can be part of helping us work through tough relationships, difficult things that have happened, that they can help us to gently engage with someone who has hurt us deeply, bitterly, and help them to see their sin. That's the first part of Matthew 18. It's not about church discipline. It's about the community coming together, loving both parties enough to help them work through it. It's all about love. And as Jesus taught about this, Peter had a question. Of course Peter had a question. You expect Peter to. And he says in Matthew 18, Lord, how many times must I, forgive my brother? How many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Sorry, up to seven times? And notice that the passage here is about us being sinned against and our forgiving the offender. That's where we're going to be staying today. We're not going to reach out into other parts of forgiveness. There's so much about it throughout the entire Bible. This is where we're going to be living today. And Peter's asking about this because, you know, when Andrew said something when we were arguing there about who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he hurt my feelings. He was mean to me. I don't like it. Do I have to forgive him? And what if he does it again in a few minutes and in a few more minutes and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day? How many times do I have to forgive him? 7 times? He thinks he's being very generous because in Jewish tradition, it states that a person should attempt to obtain forgiveness 3 times. After that, the sin is on the person who refused to grant that forgiveness. So 7 times is pretty lavish. That's wow. And then you get Jesus's shocking response. In Matthew 18:22, Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 77 times. Some of the translations say 77, others say 70 times 7. I go with the 70 times 7 because it fits with the rest of the extravagant numbers that God does in here, that he has Jesus use in here. So we're going to be doing the 70 times 7. Can you imagine that? Peter thinking 7 is great. That's a huge number. And God says, no, 490 times. It's like, what? Does that mean that Peter should keep track? Okay, that's 1, Andrew. Oh, that's 2. You're up to 25 now. Nope. You're up to 489. One more, and I don't have to forgive you anymore. Is that what it means? No. Jesus is giving us astronomical number that is as many times as it takes, infinite, however many it takes. And that doesn't mean that we'd let them walk all over us. It doesn't mean sweeping it under the rug. It was just a little thing. You know, and then the lump, it turns into this huge mountain underneath the rug. No, you don't do that. You don't stuff it down because that'll come up again too. And what we have to do, and what we see both Peter and Jesus doing here, is saying, acknowledge the sin. They call it sin. They don't say, oh, a little slight, a little hurt. They're saying, no, he sinned against me. They're acknowledging it, saying, that was wrong. And that's the first step in our being able to forgive the offender, is acknowledging that what they did was wrong. They hurt me. There will be consequences. There will be justice if they've broken a law, all of that. And we may forgive them, but still need to report them, still need to call the authorities. But let's be careful with what forgiveness is not. It does not mean that the sin against us has been diminished. It doesn't mean that it's not important, because it is. We don't deny it. We acknowledge it. We say that is what it is. Call it what it is. And for me, with this situation with my fourth grade teacher, that would mean that I need to forgive him for the times that he ignored me, that he treated me like I didn't exist. I would be the only one in the class with my hand up to answer a question. Would he call on me? Nope. He'd call on someone else. I would never have been picked to answer a question with him. And that hurt. I even had the best grades in the entire class. So when our report cards came out, it's like, how on earth did I get a B-? And I had friends and other people in the class that were all like, you got a what? Then they got A's, and they're like, how did you get a B-? It became quite a topic of conversation for a while in our little school, because he had done that much wrong that everybody around in my class knew that. It was awful. I tried to talk to my mom about it. We weren't churchgoers. We didn't go to church. So I didn't know about forgiveness. I didn't know any of this stuff. And she just kind of said, you know, forget it. Ignore it. It's like, but Later, I found out more, but it's, you know, I didn't have much choice. No one would talk to me in my family. My mom wouldn't talk to me about it. So what could a kid do? I didn't have any coping skills. I didn't know about Jesus. I didn't know about forgiveness. So I just swept it under the rug and covered it over. It's like, okay, it's all I can do. And, you know, that's just one of the small hurts that came up. It happened so many years ago, you'd think, oh, why bother? Because God brought it up. I didn't go digging for it. We don't want to go digging through our files and who hurt me and all of that. You want to let God bring it up when it's his time to say, hey, you need to listen to me and deal with this. When it's time. So I've acknowledged it. That's what I started doing, was acknowledging he hurt my poor little heart. He was mean to me. I didn't like it. I didn't know what to do. So acknowledging it. Okay, I got through that. Now what, God? And Katie gave the answer the other week. She said, we choose to forgive. And what we see in this passage is Peter saying, you know, when he sins against me, how many times do I forgive him? Because forgiveness was a natural part of being a follower of Jesus. Forgiveness was so natural. It's like, well, what do? How do I forgive him? How many times? He's not saying, oh, I need to wait until I feel forgiveness. That has nothing to do with it. There are times in the Bible that we're told to just forgive. As we're bringing our offering to the table, forgive. Doesn't say anything about feeling it. Doesn't say anything about your emotions. We don't let them rule us. We choose to forgive. We acknowledge the hurt. We choose to forgive that person that sinned against us. Because it doesn't depend on them. We're not going to wait for them to come, oh, please forgive me, because that may never happen. If we wait until we feel like forgiving them, that may never happen. We just choose to forgive. We need to acknowledge it as sin and then choose to forgive. And we keep looking at this passage, we'll see more, but we know that sin and forgiveness throughout the New Testament, they're in the Old as well, but the focus today is the New Testament. Sin and forgiveness are tied together everywhere. Sin creates the need for forgiveness. So what is sin? Technically, it's a departure from either human or divine standards of uprightness. We know from the Old Testament that God gave the Israelites 10 commandments. And when Jesus came, he spoke to him in Matthew 5 about whoever follows him will then be follows him and obeys these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And later in Matthew 22, someone asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and with all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Those commandments were still the standard for Peter and everyone in the New Testament and for us as followers, because Jesus said them again in the Sermon on the Mount. So that's one way to gauge, have I been sinned against? Has someone hurt me? Have they broken one of the Ten Commandments? Have they done something that is damage? Acknowledge it. Choose to forgive. Peter, when he was hurt, you know, if Andrew lied about him or said things that were wrong, would hopefully have gone through the earlier process that Katie showed us the other week of Matthew 18, of gently confronting, gently engaging, and if he needed to, bringing in the community. He didn't brush it off as just nothing. It needs to be dealt with each time. And once sin has happened, now that we know what sin is, then forgiveness comes into play. There are two Greek words, and aphiemi in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in those Gospels, tended to use the one that means to let go or to send away, to release from moral or legal obligation. You know, cancel it, pardon it, let it go. Paul liked the other word. He liked charisma. Can't speak today. charizomai, which in English means to cancel, you know, like stamp paid in full on something. Cancel that sum of money that's owed. To show oneself gracious by forgiving wrongdoing. To forgive or to pardon. And the interesting thing is, in the Lord's Prayer about sin and forgiveness, have you ever wondered? I have. It's driven me crazy for years. I finally figured it out. Why do they use forgiveness and sin and debt and all of that? Why don't they just say one thing and keep it simple? Well, wonder no more. I went searching for that this week. In Matthew 6, the Greek says, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Then you get Luke 11, tying things together. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone indebted to us. Luke ties together sin with a need for forgiveness, that there is a debt, payment needed. And we know that happens because in the Old Testament, if someone sinned, they had to take an offering, usually an animal or grain, and present it. They had to pay for it and present it to the priest to pay for that sin. Sin creates debt. The price has been paid, though, because Jesus lived the life that we're supposed to live, the way we're supposed to live it. And he died the death that we deserve, that we are owed. He did that and took our place. It's amazing. He stamped, paid in full on our debt. We can then forgive others. But how? How can we forgive others that infinite number of times? How do I forgive Mr. B for the year's worth of meanness and unfairness? Well, Jesus actually gave the answer to Peter in verses 23 to 27. He said, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents. A talent weighed 70-some pounds. That's a lot of money. But that man was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his master commanded that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and all that he had, and repayment be made. The slave fell on the ground and prostrated himself before the master, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the master of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt that would have taken him 160,000 years to repay if he spent not a penny of anything that he had earned in all, did I say lifetimes or years? Sorry, 160,000 lifetimes to repay without spending a penny. That is an astronomical debt. That's beyond measure, beyond counting. And Jesus hits him with this after he's already shocked him with not to forgive just three times or seven times, but an infinite number. And he starts talking about the kingdom of heaven. It's like, Jesus, what are you talking about the kingdom of heaven for? I thought we were talking about forgiveness. Why are you doing this? You know, you've already said I need to forgive them 490 times. I can count. I can do the math. I got it. But Jesus goes beyond the math. He goes to the heart of the issue. Because what we see him doing here with the master and the servant is the vertical relationship. Master and servant, king, servant, master, disciple, God, human beings. No matter how you put it, it's the vertical relationship and how much we owe him. We owe him so much more than we could ever even begin to think about paying. You know, every day I sin against him, and I sin against people who are made in his image. Sometimes I'll even say it out loud, oops. Sometimes I just think it in my head, but that still is sin. Jesus said, even if you think about a woman lustfully, that's adultery. So even our thoughts can get us in trouble, and we'll need to go to God and say, please forgive me for that. We're always asking for forgiveness for him with that vertical relationship with what he has done for us when he stamped paid in full on that. And that's what these first ones of our first verses are, you know? Paid in full. You can almost hear Jesus saying, Peter, how many times have I forgiven you? I heard him say, Cricket, how many times have I forgiven you? Put your name in there. How many times has God forgiven you? That changes how you think about forgiveness. It changes how you think about someone else sinning against you. It gives you that heart, or it should, that heart that starts to melt towards God, that begins to be forgiving, to be merciful. That vertical relationship is what matters first and foremost. The unaccountable number of times that he has forgiven us. And only after he hits Peter with that does he start talking about the horizontal relationship. In this case, it's slave to slave, but it's us to one another, human to human. And the focus on those verses 22 to 35 where Jesus answers Peter is where we get this. And it says, but that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves, owed him 100 denarii, that's 3 months worth of wages, and seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So this fellow slave, just like this guy, slave number one, fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw slave number two in prison until he could pay back what he was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw this from slave number one and what had happened, they were really upset. They were deeply grieved and came and reported to their master all that this guy had done. And then the master summoned him. He said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his master, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he would repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. God forgives an infinite number of times, and yet we don't want to forgive someone who's hurt us, who's done damage to us. That 160,000 lifetimes that we owe him are nothing compared to what we owe someone else on this horizontal plane. His is so much more. That's the basis for forgiving someone else, is the forgiveness that he has shown us. And that's a pattern that he sets in front of Peter. And for us, we owe him so much that we can't pay, that we need to also forgive on the horizontal level. And as it states in verse 33, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? That's the pattern. He has had mercy on me. He has had mercy on us. That's how we can forgive. We forgive because he first forgave us. And yes, there will be consequences. There may be times we need to call someone to the police because they've broken man's laws. So what do I do about that fourth grade teacher who is nasty and hated me for no reason? that gave me bad grades even though I had the highest ones in the whole class. I acknowledge that what he did was wrong. And I found out later that some of my siblings had had him. Of course, I'm the youngest, so you got a bunch of siblings ahead of you. One of them, of course, is going to be annoying. And one of them was more than annoying. And my mother had words with the teacher about my brother and told the teacher, just flunk him and leave him alone. And I get to follow that. Yeah, so I was treated not well because of that. And there was nothing I could do about it. So I acknowledge now that what he did was wrong. I'm letting it come up as God shows it to me, not digging it, trying to find it. And then I choose to forgive as many times as it takes, as long as it takes. So I asked God last week to forgive Mr. B because God had forgiven me and he's forgiven me so much more. And I've done this numerous times. I know the pattern. I know the way it goes. I've had to do it. I mean, there was a church where Jeff and I met where one of the pastors I had thought was a friend. We had worked together for years. We had prayed together. He was my supervisor in one of my classes that I went through school with. And the people who oversaw him for my school were amazed at our relationship and how strong it was and how well we worked together. They'd never seen that before. And then when he betrayed the church and then betrayed me, I had to forgive him. That took a long time and lots of layers because there were a lot of different things that happened. I mean, I could tell you about his kidnapping his children and the things he did to his wife and things she did back. And it was just a mess. And the church did not survive that. It did not. It took a couple years before it finally just was done. A lot of damage. And yet, I forgive because God forgave me. And I've done the steps of church reconciliation, trying to get him to see what he was doing. Jeff and I even met with him years later, and he's still in denial. So I pray for him. I pray that God would work in his heart, that God would soften his heart, help him to see who God is and to really know God. But I can only do that because God has worked in me to forgive because of how he's forgiven. It's the only way I can do that. Work through from the simple hurts to the huge shattering hurts. The ones that just break your soul in pieces. And there'll be times when I have to say, God, I am having trouble forgiving. I need you to help me. There have been times when I've had to say, God, I don't want to forgive that person. I do not. And have to say, help me to forgive. Help me even to want to forgive. Because sometimes I am just stubborn and I don't want to do it. But we need to let God be the one who calls it. God, the one that works through all those layers, works through the forgiveness, little by little, bit by bit. And I went searching for Mr. B online. Said he's got to be out there somewhere. Maybe I can send him a note or a little card, see if he wants to talk or connect. You know what I found? I found his obituary. And it shared a lot about his life, his love for music, and how he became sober the last 26 years of his life. He was not when he knew me, apparently. He became sober, and he helped other people with their sobriety. He became a sponsor. And just the way they talked about him, he was a fascinating guy. I wish I could have known him as an adult, talked to him, gotten to know him. Would have been so cool. Now I have to wait until it's my turn to go to heaven. And you can forgive someone who's already died, who has hurt you and done damage, even if they're already gone, because it doesn't depend on them. It's not about them forgiving us. It's us forgiving them for what they've done. You can do it with anyone. And I had swept it under the rug until God started knocking on my door with a series. This is a little tap. You know, it's just kind of like, as my friend Tim would say, it's like lava. It's just lying underneath the surface of the mantle. And then it starts to push its way. It starts working and working. And then one day it erupts in a volcano. And that's what happened with this. God will bring it up. God will do that. Sometimes when that happens, we'll reach out in forgiveness. Other times it's not safe to, and that's okay. And there was another thing that started coming up with this that's not related to these verses. But how can I know that I've forgiven someone? That was a question I started wondering about. How can I know? And one of them was I going digging for it, or did God, totally out of the blue, bring it up to me? With Mr. B, it just kept popping up like lava. And it surged a bit, and then some more, and then erupted, so I could work on that. Some other ways to know if we're being forgiving, if we have forgiven someone, are the four promises of forgiveness by Ken Sandy that Katie brought up last week. Now, the first three can be red flags if we use them in a negative way. If I say, am I dwelling on the situation? Is this something I'm just going over, bringing it up, like number two says, bringing it up again and again and again to myself or to that person or talking about it with others months, sometimes even years after it happened, and rehashing it? Those are red flags that we have not done the work of forgiveness and that we need to. We need to work on that because we have not forgiven them from our heart all the way. There are more layers that we need to do. We may be sliding into bitterness, which is a very dangerous place to be. Bitterness and anger that erupt to everybody around us. Not with that forgiveness. We have to look out for that because we don't want to be bitter. We can also ask God to reveal what it is that we're holding on to. Why do I want to rehash this? What is it doing in me? What does it fill me with when I rehash it with somebody? When I dwell on it, tell others about it again and again? What does it give me? What is it feeding? That's a scary one. Am I fueling anger or am I fueling love? Which one am I doing? Am I shaking my fist and demanding that they pay for what they did? That's our big red flag. Do I go into a pity party? Poor me, they were so mean to me. I was treated so badly. These are all red flags. What are we getting from this situation? Sometimes we want them to pay, and we have to bring that before God. Sometimes we want a pity party. We need to bring that before God. Sometimes we're going to shake our fist and say, God, help me. I need you to do this because I do not want to pay what I owe him that he said was paid in full. I can't pay him back. I don't want to have to pay what I owe. I can't. It's beyond my ability to do. And we try to find excuses. Well, what they did was way worse. There's nothing about that here. It's if they sin against me, I need to forgive them. Whether I involve them in it or not, I need to forgive them. Because God, in that vertical relationship, has forgiven me so much more. So much more than 77 or even 70 times 7. Let's pray. Father, your love is so beyond our comprehension. We need to be like you. We want to be like you. We say we're your followers. That means we're like you. We're becoming like you, bit by bit. We're not going to be perfect at it. We'll fall. We'll scrape our knees. We'll bloody our nose. Might even bloody somebody else's nose on occasion. But you're there for us. You're there with forgiveness, and you're there to help us forgive others. Lord, thank you for that. We have no words except thank you. And help me to be more like you. Amen.